Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning into the Liberty Report. With me today is Chris Rossini. This is the day we do Mythbusters. Welcome to the program, Chris.
Great to be with you, Dr. Paul.
Good. Well, what do we have in store? What kind of myths are we going to destroy today?
Well, we're going to talk about war. It's very important, and we're going to try to break some myths. We're going to specifically talk about preemptive war. And one of the lines that we always hear is that we need to fight them over there so we don't fight them over here. But it's such an old and tired line. In fact, it was used by Harry Truman for fear that the communists would come here. He said, quote, "We are fighting in Korea, so we won't have to fight in Wichita or in Chicago or New Orleans or in the San Francisco Bay." Why is this such an effective excuse, Dr. Paul?
Yeah, and you use the right word, excuse. It's not a reason. And I always try to point out that politicians use excuses and pretend they're reasons, and they pretend it's very necessary. But no, they make a decision to go to war, and then they work on the propaganda. They get the people to go along with it. It's been that way for a long, long time. Even the major wars that ended up being declared, like World War I and II, of course, was a continuation of one, that there had to be a lot of propaganda. That's what happened in Korea. You mentioned Harry Truman doing the same thing. We have to go over there and fight them because they could come over here. And that, of course, means that they have a strategy. They want to do something. They have ulterior motives. They're not going to be up front with you and say, well, this is what we have to do this for. It's for the special interests of the oil industry or some other excuse for doing it. They have to say they're a menace. They're like Hitler. Hitler would come and kill us all if we don't do anything. They become the monsters that we were warned against. But that is their goal. They always have a monster, and they use that as an excuse that we have to go overseas, and the American people fall in line. But the American people won't fall in line if they know the truth. They listen to the lies, and I think back just a short while ago when we were working up to going into Iraq, it took over a year of propagandizing for the war and to fight them over there so we don't have to fight them over here. And that finally converted the people, because even in spite of the fact that it was just after 9/11, the American people didn't buy in this argument that we had to go to war against Iraq over 9/11. But eventually it happened because they listened to this propaganda. So one of the biggest tasks we have on our anti-war, pro-peace position is being able to participate in the debate so that the American people know what's going on, because the politicians have long gone from their duty to follow the Constitution and bring it to the people, have a declaration and a discussion of what's going on and be realistic. No, right now the main goal is to protect the empire, and you don't want too much truth out, so therefore they build up this big fear. And the American people get in frightened. We have to be safe. We have to be safe. It's been especially easy since 9/11 to terrorize the American people and say, you know, they're coming, they're coming. And unfortunately, too often they win over, even though I am still very much convinced that the American people, if they know the truth, they are not warmongers. They don't like war. I think, as a matter of fact, this last election, I think Trump came across as more for peace than Hillary did, and I think he got some votes, especially with dealing with Russia. And I think that's a general statement that the individual who's sort of arguing, well, let's calm down a little bit. Let's negotiate or talk and not just let's go bomb people, you know, and that's always the problem. So, but that is the excuse. We got to fight them over there because before you know it, they'll be here. And the remoteness of somebody invading this country or flying airplanes over us or even lobbing a missile over us right now, very, very remote. So therefore, the people have to be vigilant because, you know, there's a lot of hatred out there. They never ask the question, I wonder why they hate us. Maybe they hate us and would like to do us harm because we've been doing great harm to their countries and we've been bombing and killing too many people. So the excuse is something that we should look at carefully because it's not a good reason to go to war.
Right. Next, let's talk about entangling alliances. Since we have, unfortunately, the worldwide empire, there has to be a web of alliances. And it's gotten to the point where they don't even make any sense. In fact, yesterday on the show, you talked about how one of our allies, Turkey, bombed another ally, or the Kurds. So doesn't this tangled web of alliances just, don't they act as like countless tripwires for us to just keep fighting wars?
You know, a lot of people say that if you take a different position, say, let's get away from all these alliances, they'll say, oh, that's too radical. You have to have some, you know, you have to have allies and all this. But the truth is we don't need alliances and these commitments. I think they're immoral because you're committing another generation, and most people think an alliance is holy, you know, that you do it, you committed yourself to war, and most of them aren't that way. An alliance should never amend the Constitution. The Constitution said you're not supposed to do that. And sometimes even in a charter like the United Nations, there is a loophole that says a country, you can still take it to their government. But for the most part, people now believe that if you have an alliance, sometimes we don't even have an official alliance with countries, but it's perceived that we do, and that we just automatically go to war, and that's how empires work. People get conditioned, and we're in a lot of different places. You know, we shouldn't have alliances, but we should have an allegiance. We should have an allegiance to, promotion and a desire for peace, and allegiance to the rule of law, and allegiance to telling the people what we're doing, and allegiance to the principle that we have to declare war. And that's quite a bit different. But I think it's just wrong to have all these alliances this is a mutual defense treaty. You know, it's just ridiculous. Montenegro, we just helped put them into NATO. Yeah, sure, Montenegro is going to come over here. It's a city-state. It's a big city is what it is. Yeah, they're going to really help us out. It's to discipline people and control people. And so the empire, any empire, you know, wants to have these entangling alliances. Originally, they might be more honest and upfront, but when the empire gets very large, their goal is to have more alliances and more control and more unity because it's global and it's very important to maintain the empire. And that, of course, commits the American people with the lives of the young people, the expense, the amount of money, and then it commits troops overseas, because once you have an alliance, you got to have troops on those lands, and that's why we have troops in 120, 130 countries, and we have to be ready to go. And once again, it's an alliance, and besides, if we don't have an alliance, they might come over here and destroy us. So it just keeps building. It's all war propaganda, and people should read Smedley Butler, War is a Racket. And the more you study it, the more you'll realize he was, a well-decorated general in the early part of the last century. And he finally got disgusted with what he was doing. He said, war is a racket. And these alliances and this propaganda, it is a racket. And it's not helping the American people. The people suffer. They suffer by loss of life and limb. And they suffer because they always pay the bills. Whether or not they get taxed, they end up with the inflation and loss of liberties at home. That's why this is such an important subject.
Yes, the next tripwire that gets us into more preemptive wars are two words that we're seeing a lot of often, that's red lines. President Obama had some kind of red line for Syria. President Trump, he's not even going to tell us what his red lines are, so they could be anything. Dr. Paul, what does the Constitution have to say about the president making red lines up and going to war? Does he have the authority to do this?
Absolutely not. And I think even with our deeply flawed educational system today, I think you'd get most young people to realize, you know, that's overstepping the bounds. Others would say, yes, we need to be tough. We need to show them who's boss, and this is what happens. But once again, it's intimidation. It's throwing a weight around. It's acting like a bully. And these red lines are meant to mold other people's activity, just as the authoritarians want to mold economic activity and personal activity at home. We use this type of language to mold other people so they behave in on our terms. So, but if they do behave, which most of them do, because the United States happens to have the reserve currency of the world, they can run up debt, and they have the military, and this is very easy. So, and those who do obey our red lines and say do this or that, you know, they can be rewarded pretty easily. They get rewards, monetary rewards, and if not, they're in big trouble. A little bit of confusion comes up when red lines are so-called drawn, and then all of a sudden they're ignored because they realize this wasn't a very smart thing to do. But the American people, you know, when they had a vote, you know, a few years ago on whether we should, you know, accelerate our war against Syria because we drew a line in a red line, and it was believed, or at least it was said, that Assad was breaking that across the red line, which was a lie, that he had not done it. So, but they used this as the excuse to really accelerate. So even though the American people spoke out and said, no, we don't want a war over this, but eventually they got their war, those who wanted the war, and that's where we are. We're sending more troops into Iraq, into Syria and Iraq, and you know, we have you know the Turks, the Turks bombing the Kurds, and they're both our allies. It's just ridiculous, and it's all a reflection of a deeply flawed foreign policy. Makes no sense and does not help our national security.
Finally, if there's one thing that could be said about the long string of wars that our country has been through, it's that they're always laced with lies, whatever needs to be said to get the war going. And a lot of Americans even know it, but it just continues. Funny enough, it is us libertarians who are accused of being the unrealistic ones trying to follow the U.S. Constitution and the law. So please close out our show, Dr. Paul, explaining why we're not the ones who are unrealistic.
No, those who promote a policy where it's perpetual war and it never ends and brings a country down on its knees financially and also destroys civil liberties at home, I would think that there should be no support whatsoever. And unfortunately, there's not enough people in the Congress to be precise and say you can't even do it unless you get authority. Even now, today, they don't even get a pretense authority. Say, well, it's okay if you want to do this. But it used to be you had to have a declaration of war. And they call this a preemptive war. They also say that this is preventive, arguing that preemptive war will be a small war. You go in and kill a few people and take over their country, this will solve the problem. We won't have to have, this will prevent a big war. And of course, they had a real big war in the teens of last century, and say this is the war to end all wars, and turned out to be the war that began a 100 years of war, which is continuing. So this is the whole problem is it's a pretense that we're doing all these wonderful things to go over and tell people what to do and that this will make us free and prosperous. And it doesn't. It serves a special interest. It serves the special interest of various other countries specialized. It doesn't serve the interest of the integrity of the United States. It's usually driven by international concerns, international control of natural resources, international control of the finances. It's globalism at its worst, and it undermines the individualism that's supposed to go along with a free nation and a republic. So that's generally forgotten. Now, on top of all this, of the economies that have been globalized by the plannings, and we have this foreign policy, we also have this this attack by social Marxism, you know, into our colleges to undermine the social fabric of the country. So these are all bad signs, but the good sign is that most people realize there's something terribly wrong with this, and they reflected that in this last election. We haven't seen good results from it yet, But the American people are going to get a lot more aggravated with this preemptive war and the building of an empire, intimidation, because the country's going to get so poor we won't be able to afford it. But where we are making progress is the belief and the understanding of what a free society is all about in a better way than it's ever been before, I think, in all of history. We've had incrementally, improved our understanding of liberty, and certainly the founding of this country and our Constitution held, but we've stepped backwards a bit. But I think there's refinement of these ideas, but there's the necessity that's coming. And when people have an option and a choice, I know what they'll pick. They are not going to pick the system that we have today because it's totally bankrupt intellectually and it's bankrupt, in a realistic financial sense. So there's reason to believe that as long as we can pursue truth, that we have a reasonable chance to devising a system that will provide peace and prosperity, which all people want. They just get coerced by this intimidation of being said, oh yeah, we need a war because we have to have a war over there before they come here and destroy our liberties. It's such a farce that is. But I think, though, that the movement on today for a libertarian free society is a very good move. I think the numbers are growing in spite of all the attacks. But as the attacks accumulate more so currently, on those of us who really want to talk about a libertarian society, indicates that we're making progress. And I think that's good in spite of, organized educational system and government and so much seems to be opposed to us. But I think that ideas are important, ideas are spreading, and ideas are what drives the world. And that's where we're making progress. So I would say that even on this difficult issue of why we need to bring all our troops home, does sell with the American people and will be easier to sell when we are flat out of money and it will be a necessity. But I do want to thank everybody for tuning in today. And Chris, thank you very much for being with us on Mythbusters.
Thank you, Dr. Paul.
Good. And to our viewers, please come back soon to the Liberty Report.